Am I on or off here? Am I on? I'm off. I'm off. I'm on. Well, they're not sure, Dossel. You better bring me up a little bit. So there we go. Now you can hear me, right?
Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Let's pray over the word right now. Father, thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for speaking to every heart here today. Father, thank you for what we've already experienced in worship and in your presence and through the exhortations that we've already heard, Father God. And we just open our hearts now, Lord. I thank you that your word, as Pastor Carl talked about the seed, Lord, I thank you that your word is a seed, that your word is seed sown into our hearts right now. So, Father, we just make sure this moment that, Lord, this seed is going into good ground. We just decide right now that this seed is going into hearts that are receptive and open and ready and eager to hear what you're saying. We'll not allow distraction to steal away the seed. We'll not allow worry and care and the desire for other things to cause the seed to be choked out. But we thank you that this seed will produce abundant fruit in our lives for your glory, Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. And everyone that agreed said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 10, and starting in verse 19, it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We've been talking about the last few Sundays a series that we've called A New and Living Way. The writer of Hebrews here says in verse 20 that we can draw near to God by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Jesus made available, he made available to us a new and living way to walk with God and to serve God. The old covenant way was not sufficient. The old covenant way pointed them to God, but it couldn't bring them to God perfectly, could it? And so we have a new and living way. And we've been talking about this. It's the way of the Spirit. It's the way of faith. And it's the way of love. And if you notice here, verse 22, it talks about drawing near in full assurance of faith. Verse 24 talks about stirring up love. So this new and living way, there's three aspects to it. It's the way of the Spirit, it's the way of faith, and it's the way of love. That's the new covenant way. This is the way that we as new covenant believers, as believers in Christ, we're to walk in this new and living way. And it's a way of the Spirit, it's a way of faith, and it's a way of love. So we talked about, just a brief moment of review here, we talked about the way of the Spirit. Ephesians 2, verse 17 and 18 says, and he came and preach peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. We have access to God the Father by the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's our access point. It's through the Spirit. This new and living way that we draw near to God and that we walk with God, it's a way of the Spirit. It's through the Spirit that we have access to God. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 6, this is out of the New Living Translation. It says, but now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. Amen. In the new way, notice that, the new way of living in the Spirit. That's the way that God has called us to walk. And that's the way that he's called us to live as new covenant believers. It's the new way of living in the Spirit. Now don't get confused about this. The Bible, Peter says that some people have taken, he said some people have taken the things that Paul wrote and twisted them to their own destruction. And so when he says we can serve God not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, don't twist that to say, well, I don't need even to worry about the Ten Commandments. I can lie, I can cheat, I can steal, I can commit adultery if I want to. That doesn't matter now because I'm free from the law. No, no, no. If you keep reading in Romans chapter 8, it says that we that are living by the Spirit, we are the ones who can now fulfill the law. In Romans chapter 8, verse 4, it says that we obey, that we fulfill the righteous requirement of the law as we follow this new way of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so in this new covenant, we're called to and we're told to be filled with the Spirit. Amen? It's God's plan that every believer be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus emphasized that. Jesus said that it's His plan that every Christian, every believer be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, that's not optional. We've made it optional in the church world, but that's not... Now, and again, don't take that out of context. You know, some people take it to an extreme and say, well, unless you speak in tongues, you're not going to heaven. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that, but it does teach that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not just an optional thing. It's not just for just a few Christians, but it's for every believer. Amen. It's for every believer. You know, I saw something in this. In Acts chapter 10, when Peter is preaching to Cornelius' household there, he came and he preached Jesus to them. He's preaching the gospel to them. And the Bible says while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on those folks, and they began speaking with other tongues. This is a group of people that are hearing the gospel for the first time. Now, if being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues was not that important, why in the world did God allow that to happen to those folks the very first time they heard the gospel?
Amen.
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 And so in the new covenant, we're to be filled with the Spirit, but not just an initial experience, we're to be being filled. Ephesians 5 says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The word be filled there is in the continuous tense. It means be being filled. It means be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're to be filled with the Spirit. We're to be continually filled with the Spirit. In the new covenant, we're to worship in the Spirit. In John chapter 4, Jesus said to the woman at the well in Samaria, He said, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. God is a Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him, how? In spirit and in truth. And we pointed out to you that we can't go back and worship God the way they did under the old covenant. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're to worship in this new way of worshiping in the Spirit. In the old covenant, they didn't have the Spirit of God living on the inside of them. They were spiritually dead. And so all the things that they observed in that's not even close to what we can experience now. We can worship God spirit to spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we should take advantage of that. Praise God. In the new covenant, we're called to walk in the Spirit. Paul wrote in Galatians and he said, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we're called to be led by the Spirit. Romans 8 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. So this new and living way, it's the way of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. But it's also the way of faith. And these are connected. It's the way of faith. The Christian life is a life of faith. Three times we pointed this out last week, but three times in the New Testament we read this statement, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Anytime something's repeated three times in the New Testament, you better believe it's important. We should pay attention to it. So he says, the just shall live by faith. So we're called to a life of faith, this new and living way. It's a way of faith. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, it says this, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. So we're justified or declared righteous by faith. And in addition to that, we receive all the blessings, all the provision of redemption. Everything that Jesus died to provide and to purchase for us, salvation, healing, forgiveness, freedom from addiction and bondage, peace, prosperity, everything that Jesus died to pay for and to purchase for us, we receive it through faith. Through faith.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's talk about the third one right now, the way of love. So this new and living way, he said we come to God by a new and living way. It's the way of the Spirit, it's the way of faith, but it's also the way of love. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1, in the New International Version, it says this. He says, follow the way of love. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. You know, some people want an either or. Well, you know, I'd rather walk in love than to, you know, have all those spiritual gifts, but not have love. Well, why not have both? Amen. Why not have both?
Amen.
Amen. He says, follow the way of love and desire spiritual gifts.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. So we're called to follow the way of love. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 13. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, he says, Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Now, so what's the point he's making here? Well, In 1 Corinthians 12, he began talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Are they important? He said we're to desire them, right? He said we should pursue them and should desire them. But are they important? Absolutely. But he says without love, they're nothing. He says, so he, basically he's telling us tongues, all the gifts of the Spirit, they're important, but without love, they're an annoyance. He says they're like a clanging cymbal. They're like a clanging cymbal and a sounding brass. Any of you ever had kids and they were learning to play a wind instrument? And just learning to play it?
Yeah.
How many of you know that can be a little bit annoying?
Yeah.
Our violin? You ever heard a violin screech? Now, any of our kids that have attempted that, since some of them are sitting in here today... they've done pretty good, and so the annoyance was minimal, I must say. But he says, you can have tongues, and you can, but if you don't have love, you're sounding brass or clanging cymbals. Some say, well, good, I'll just have love and not tongues. No, have both.
Yeah.
Have both. Amen.
Amen.
Do both. Praise God. Faith, he says, though I have faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. Faith is essential, isn't it? Without faith, we can't please God. But without love, it amounts to nothing. So how important is love? It's pretty important, isn't it? How important was it for Tony to forgive that lady? It's pretty important, wasn't it? Essential. For his well-being, number one.
Amen.
In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6... In Galatians 5 and verse 6, it says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. So see, without love, faith won't really work, will it? Jesus said something similar in Mark 11. In Mark 11, verse 22 through 24, he's told us about faith, right? Have faith in God. Whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed, cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe the things he says will be done. He'll have whatever he says. Verse 24, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. And then he says, a lot of times we stop reading right there. But the next word is, and when you stand praying, what? Forgive. Forgive. Well, forgiveness is born out of love, isn't it? Forgiveness is born out of the love of God. And so he says here that faith works through love. Without love, faith won't work properly. I like the way it says it in the Amplified Bible. Look at it with me in the Amplified. He says, for if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith, look at this now, activated and energized and expressed and working through love. Praise God. That's powerful, isn't it? Faith, our faith is activated by love. Our faith is energized by love. Our faith is expressed by love. And our faith is working through love. Hallelujah. So this new and living way that we're called to walk in, It's not just a way of faith, but it's a way of love also. Amen. And again, as I said, these are interconnected. These are interconnected to one another. But what about the source of love? Let's look at that. What is the source of this love that we're talking about? There's you know, we throw out the word love, and people have all kinds of ideas and all kinds of notions and all kinds of concepts when you say love. You know, I can say, you know, I love peanut butter. And then you know, I ate some peanut butter for breakfast with these little, what are those things called, Scarlett? Those little waffle-looking things that you brought back from Colombia? Obleas. Obleas. You got to say it like that. Obleas. All right. So I had two obleas. They're little thin, little waffle-type things. And we could actually, I was thinking about this morning when I ate them, they're like, now our communion crackers are, they're regular just saltine crackers. Have you ever had those spongy ones that you think you're eating plastic? You ever had communion at a church? You ever had those spongy ones? These things are kind of like that. They're a little bit better than that, though. Well, you know, I ate them. Nobody forced them on me this morning. So I took two of those obleas, and you spread some peanut butter, you know, between, make you a little oblea sandwich, oblea and peanut butter. What's peanut butter in Spanish? Oh, Lord. Mantequilla de maní. Somebody got the interpretation of that? Peanut butter. All right. All right. So I made me a little sandwich of that, and I ate that. Oh, and I thought, where in the world was that? How did I get off on that? So I could say, I love peanut butter. And then I walked in and I said, well, honey, I'm leaving for church. Bye. I love you. I love peanut butter. I love you. I hope my love for my wife is a little bit different than my love for peanut butter. And so in our world, you know, in the Greek language, of course, there was four different words. They had a little bit better way to divide it out. They had four different words for love. And of course, the one we're looking at today is agape, the God kind of love. The God kind of love. And so what is the source? Where is the source of this love? Romans 5 and verse 5 tells us, it says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God, everybody say the love of God. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So this new and living way, it's a way of the Spirit. It's a way of faith. It's a way of love. And so we see here that love is dependent. The tapping into the God kind of love is dependent upon us yielding to the Holy Spirit. The more that we yield to the Holy Spirit, the more we'll be yielding to the love of God. Amen. Because that's the source of this love. God's love, the love of God, has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so this love that we're to follow, it's the love of God. It's not natural human love. Natural human love is selfish. Natural human love will fail, but God's love never fails. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke chapter 6, and we find Jesus talking about, he's really talking about the love of God and talking about how to live and walk in this way of love. In verse 27 of Luke chapter 6, Jesus says this. He says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. Amen. Natural human love can't do that. Natural human love will break down and will not be able to do that. But the love of God, with the love of God in you, you know you can do that. Amen. Amen. And with the love of God in you, you can love your enemies. With the love of God in you, you can do good to those who hate you. With the love of God in you, you can bless those who curse you. With the love of God in you, you can pray for those who spitefully use you. This is radical, folks. This new and living way, it's radical. Hallelujah. It's a way of the Spirit, it's a way of faith, and it's a way of love. And we're to follow the way of love. We're to live like this. Love your enemies. See, Jesus was setting this standard here under the old covenant. They couldn't do that. He said, you've heard that it was said, you'll love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy. Amen. That's the only way that that can be done is by tapping into the love of God that's poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. He says this in verse 31, still talking about this. In verse 31, he says, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. You say, yeah, Pastor, we've heard that. That's the golden rule. But don't miss this. Look at this. Just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. See, this is proactive, isn't it?
Yes.
See, God's love, natural human love, can reciprocate. Natural human love can say, oh, you love me and you've been nice to me. Well, I can love you back and be nice to you. Mm-hmm. That's reciprocation. The love of God does not merely reciprocate, it initiates.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The love of God initiates. The love of God says, you know, it says, however you want men to do to you, before they've done anything to you, good or bad, or maybe they've done bad to you, you go ahead and do them good.
Amen.
That's an initiation. Amen. We need to utilize the power of initiation in the love of God in dealing with people. Amen.
Amen.
In our homes, in our marriages, in our families, and just with people in general.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 35, Jesus said, as we keep reading in this, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He, see again, it's talking about the love of God. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Now, look at what he says here. He says, if you will love your enemies, if you'll do good, he says, your reward will be great and you'll be sons of the Most High. In other words, you'll be acting like your Heavenly Father. You'll be walking with His nature. You'll be acting with His nature. Amen? And His nature is love. He's poured out that love in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
He says, therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. So when we follow the way of love, we're exhibiting the nature of our Father God. Now, again, people get confused about real love, and you hear people say this. I heard a lady on the radio this past week. She was trying to make a point of justifying, and she says, "Well, I just had." She claimed to be a Christian. And I suppose she probably, I'm not going to question whether she is or not. But she says, you know, she said, I'm just going to have to go along with this Supreme Court decision, to legalize, same-sex marriage. Because after all, she said, after all, the greatest tenets that Jesus proclaimed was tolerance and loving and not judging others. And I thought, is that so? Did Jesus really preach that? Well, here in Luke chapter 6, he says, do not judge lest you be judged. We know that he said that. But, you know, we hear this concept of tolerance, and so does following the way of love then mean that we become tolerant of sin? Well, if you rightly divide the Scripture, you know that it can't mean that. Because look at what Paul wrote here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, again, people get confused about love. They think, well, if I'm going to be a loving Christian, then that means I've got to be tolerant of this. I've got to accept everything. I can't speak up. I can't take a stand.
Yes, you can.
Amen. All right. What does the Scripture say? Romans chapter 12, verse 9, look at this. Love must be sincere. I think the New King James says, without hypocrisy. Love must be sincere. And in the next breath, he says what? Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Is it possible to have the love of God in you and be exhibiting that love toward people and yet hating what is evil? Absolutely. Absolutely. It doesn't mean you hate the person, But you hate the evil. You hate the sin. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Well, what's the standard? And again, that's what's under assault right now. What is the standard? People want to decide. You know, in the book of Judges, there was confusion and disarray, and the nation of Israel was in a mess. But because it makes this statement, it says there was no leadership there. It says, and the people decided for themselves what was good and evil. The people did what was right in their own eyes. That's the thing that Satan tempted Adam and Eve with in the beginning. He said, if you'll eat this fruit, then you'll be like God. The King James says, knowing good and evil. Another translation says it this way, deciding for yourself good and evil.
Yeah.
See, that's what the devil wants to get our culture and our society into a place of where we just decide for ourselves what's good. And if there's no standard, then if it's just up to the individual what's good and evil, then you'll just have anarchy and chaos. No, there must be a standard. And God is the only one that's qualified to set the standard.
Amen.
He's the one who was.
Yes.
From the beginning.
Yes.
And He's the one that set the standard. So what's the standard? When He tells us, hate what is evil and cling to what is good, what's the standard? Well, His Word is the standard.
Amen.
What God calls evil is evil.
Yes.
What God calls good is good. The Scripture says, woe to those who call evil good and who call good evil. Amen? Well, natural humans will do that. But God's Word is clear on the subject. Amen? Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. And that, He said, and we can love sincerely and encompass all of that. Amen? Praise God. And in this discourse where Jesus is talking about loving our enemies, where Jesus is talking about responding with the love of God, in the same passage, if you go back to Luke chapter 6 with me, let's look back up at verse 22. Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Jesus says, blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Well, notice that. He says, blessed are you when men hate you. Jesus said, you know, rejoice. He said, that's a good thing. When men hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. That's like Pastor Garlow said earlier. He said, you know, in that video we saw, he said, you have to make a decision whether you want to be popular and accepted in this life. Amen.
Yes.
Now, again, none of us want to, I don't think there's any of us in here that want to, you know, that just want to say, well, my goal in life is just to offend as many people as I possibly can. My goal in life is just to be as rude and obnoxious. Now, there may be a few people like that. I don't think there's any of them in here this morning. You know, my goal in life is just to be rude and obnoxious and just, you know, drive every person away from me that I can. I don't think that's our goal. Amen?
Amen.
But Jesus said, blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you, cast out your name as evil. Why would that happen to you? Why would that happen? Notice it said, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Now, it's one thing, you know, if the world casts you out because, you know, you've become, you know, like Adolf Hitler, you know, or something like that. But notice it said they revile you and they call you evil and say you're evil and they exclude you and they hate you. He said, for the Son of Man's sake. Well, why would they do that? Why would people do that? Well, Jesus gives us the answer in John 15. John 15, verse 18. He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore, the world hates you. Well, why did the world hate Jesus? Well, you know, and I've noticed this. A lot of times people, you know, you hear people say, well, I don't believe those scriptures and I don't believe, you know. And I understand that Christians can misrepresent God and misrepresent the Lord. But you notice a lot of times people say, well, now I love Jesus, like this lady that Robin ran on, ran upon on the beach there that said, well, Jesus and I are on speaking terms. And maybe she is, but my other thought is, this may be a Jesus of her own devising and not the Jesus of the Bible. See, a lot of times people want to create their own Jesus based on what they want to do, based on how they want to live. But he's not really that Jesus that they claim to walk with and know is not necessarily the Jesus of the Bible. There is a real Jesus. And he is everything the Word says that he is. And his attitude is everything that we see that he talked about, that he spoke about, as recorded in the Scriptures. That's the real Jesus. Come on now.
Amen.
Amen. Why did the world hate Jesus? Verse 22, he says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Did Jesus expose sin? He absolutely did. He forgave sin, but he didn't excuse it, or he didn't say, oh, well, you know, that's all right. God doesn't care about that. He certainly was willing to forgive sin. But notice he made statements like this. To the woman caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Amen. To the lame man that was healed, he said, now you've been made well, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Huh? Amen. Amen. So is there ever a place where we would speak to people about, again, we're talking about love and not being confused about love. Well, now, you know, if I love that person, then I'm just going to accept them just the way they are. Well, in a sense, yes. In a sense, we love them just the way they are, but we do not accept the sin that they're in and say, oh, that's all right. You just continue going that way. Everything's fine. We're doing people a disservice when we do that. Amen.
Amen.
And so would there ever be a place, would there ever be a time where we would speak to people concerning their sin? And can I still be loving that person and do that? Absolutely there is. Amen. Let me ask you a question. If I'm walking down the street and I see that my neighbor's house is on fire, is it love for me to run in and knock on their door? And if they don't open it immediately if it's unlocked and yell at them, hey, your house is on fire. Get out. Would that be love?
Yes.
That would be love, wouldn't it? Would it disturb them?
Yeah, hopefully.
It'd probably just, would it alarm them?
Yes.
Would it make them feel bad?
Yes.
Well, in one sense, yes. Oh, no, my house is on fire. But would they be glad in the end if they got out?
Yes.
Would they be glad that I came by and I opened the door and I yelled at them, hey, your house is on fire. Get out.
Yes.
Would it be love to walk by and see their house is on fire and to reason, this is really going to upset them if I go in there and I yell and I tell them their house is on fire? I don't want to do anything to upset them. No. I'll let them figure it out on their own. I won't bother them. Is that love?
No.
Let them burn up in their house? So why do we speak to people concerning their sin? To let them know the good news that there's a way out. We never speak to someone in their sin to say, oh, you're sorry and you're condemned and God doesn't love you. We never do it from that standpoint. But we say, friend, look, this way that you're going is going to lead to destruction, but there's a way out. There's a way out. Jesus loves you. God loves you, and he's made a way out. You can be free, and there's a way out. Yeah, but they might ridicule me. Well, they just might, but they need to know. I said they need to know. That's love. I said that's love. Amen? Is it love to warn someone? Maybe you are driving down a country road, and it's been raining a lot, like it rained here Friday, and you drive down where there's supposed to be a bridge, and the bridge has been washed out, and you've stopped just in time, and you turn around and you come back out to the clearing, and the authorities haven't had time to get there yet and put up a roadblock, and you see somebody driving down that road. Is it love to stop them and warn them and say, "Hey, the bridge is out. If you keep going that way, you're going to plunge into the river"? Is it love to warn them?
Absolutely,
isn't it? Is it? Would it be love to sit there and say, "Oh well, I know they're going that way, and I know the way that they're going is going to end in disaster, but it's not my place to say anything"? That wouldn't be love, would it?
No.
Amen.
No.
And so, yes, we need to follow the way of love, but that doesn't mean remaining silent. That doesn't mean embracing a place of tolerance where we just say, "Oh well, you know, it doesn't matter what anybody does. That's their business. You know, we're just going to leave them alone, and we're just going to love them." Well, we're not really loving them if what they're doing and the life they're living and the way they're going is going to lead them to hell and destruction.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
It's love when we speak up and speak the truth in love, as the Scripture tells us to do, and warn them. Amen?
Amen.
There's a place for that. Now, that doesn't mean that's our primary communication with people, but it is a part of it.
Yes.
And a wrong concept of love would cause us not to take that stand and speak those words when they're necessary.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word today, Lord. I thank you for every person here. And Father, I pray right now, if there's anyone here today, Lord, under the sound of my voice, that would need to hear a word of warning this morning, I pray for them, Father, that they would take heed, that they would hear what you're saying today. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for it. While we're in an attitude of prayer, with heads bowed, with eyes closed, I want to ask you this morning, you're here today and you'd say, "Pastor, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. If I were to die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven." I do want to warn you today, if you're without Jesus Christ, your house is on fire. Your house is on fire. You may not realize it. You know, it's possible to be in a house and it be on fire and you not even know it's on fire. Somebody else might see the smoke from outside. And you might be in there thinking everything is just fine, when everything's not fine. You're here today and you'd say, "I've never accepted Jesus Christ." Well, I don't want to today. I'll do it another day. I'll do it another time. You may not have another opportunity. This may be your best shot. This may be your best chance. Do it today. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. So you're here today and you'd say, "That's me. I need Jesus. I want to make Him Lord in my life." If that's you, would you slip up your hand? "Pastor, pray for me. I need Jesus. I want to make Him Lord of my life." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. One other invitation this morning, you'd say, "Pastor, I'm away from God. I need to get back in fellowship with God. I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. I've been away from Him, and I sense myself drifting farther and farther away." Today is the day you need to make that decision. Today is the day that you can say, "Look, I'm not going to drift any further away. I'm coming home. I'm rededicating my life back to the Lord." If that's you, I want to pray for you this morning. "Pastor, pray for me. I want to rededicate my life to the Lord." If that's you, would you raise your hand? "Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. I want to get back with Him today." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you today. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So good, God. Father, I just pray for every person here this morning. I just pray that you would use each and every one of us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the love of God that's been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that we would tap into that love in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that we would not merely reciprocate. That's just human love that does that. that we would not just love back the people that love us or that are good to us, but Lord, I thank you that you would help us to reach beyond that and to initiate. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God, that your love in our hearts would cause us to initiate and to reach out. Hallelujah. And even to bless and do good to those that have mistreated us or used us or spoken evil of us, that we would respond back with your love. Thank you, Father. Thank you. That love's on the inside of us. It's been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you would help each one of us to yield to that love and to allow that love to dominate us. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you for this new and living way. Hallelujah. Thank you for this new and living way that we can live. Not in the old way of trying to obey the letter of the law from an outward physical strength, doing it in ourselves. But thank you, Lord, you've written your laws upon our heart now. Thank you, you put your spirit within us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for this way of faith, Father God, that we can please you as we believe your word. Hallelujah. As we act on your word and believe what you said. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you today. We thank you today. Lord, we know that our faith, it works through love. It's energized by love. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.